Bibles with me this morning, Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, I want you to find your place there at verse 13. Brother Bob gave me a little note here. Let me see what it said again. If I was to tell you that I would give you $98 if you gave me $2, how many of y'all would take that? If I said, I'll give you $98, you give me $2. You know what? 3 hours of church service a week is only 2% of your week's life. You get the other 98%. So I think that if you would give God 2% of that time, He'll give you the 98% back and really bless you in it. Thank you for that, Brother Bob. Now, I'll never get that out of my mind. It'll be there. Well, I'm also thinking about it. Me and Sister Stephanie were watching a program last night. I believe it's called 2012, where the world was supposed to end in 2012, and supposed to be a giant earthquake and then flood all the cities and all. And the scenery was, I was watching it. It was intense, and it was real. It actually looked real when you've seen San Francisco and California fall off into the ocean and Paris and Eiffel Tower and D.C. and all the earthquakes. And as we're watching it, I told her, I said, people don't understand that's coming. There are going to be earthquakes, the Bible said, like this world has never seen before. And the destruction of people's lives, it showed the interstates, the cars just collapsing and the building, skyscraper just falling into one another and people being slung out the windows. And it was pretty realistic. And I thought, wow, the world needs to know that that's coming. Why don't we do what we're doing? Why do we try to preach the gospel? Because Jesus Christ said that He's coming back and that we need to be ready. Judgment is coming. We're in the hour of grace now, but the hour of judgment will come one day. And therefore, we need to be prepared for that. We need to do whatever it takes in our lives right now, this morning, to be prepared for what's to come. Whatever stands in our way, whatever obstacle or wall that you might have erected that's blocking you from whatever God wants to do with you, you need to consider that and maybe even tear it down this morning. And that's what I want to look at in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. I want to just speak on the subject, tear down this wall. That's a famous saying that Ronald Reagan spoke in June 12, 1987 concerning the Berlin Wall over there in Germany when he told Gorbachev, he said, tear down this wall. It was a barrier for those people in Europe. It was blocking others from enjoying the benefits of life. And I think maybe sometime we erect walls in our lives that also stop us from enjoying the best that God has for us. Verse 13 of Joshua chapter 5, very familiar story, says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of value. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once, thou shalt do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye shall hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. You know, after 40 long years of wandering in the wilderness after coming out of Egypt, now Joshua and the children of Israel, they stand at the border of Canaan land. They have crossed over the river Jordan. Now they are to go in and occupy the land that God has promised them. Occupy, I said, but that wouldn't be an easy thing because they were armies and enemies to the children of Israel. There were people living in the Canaan land who they were going to have to overcome and defeat. And the first city that they are brought to is the city of Jericho. Now, the city of Jericho was a very special city. Being there close to the River Jordan, it was a military city. It was very strategic for the allies that were in the country there. When you really study it, it had a wall around this city that was 30 feet high and 12 feet thick. In other words, two chariots could travel along the top of the wall to protect it. And Joshua is asked of by the Lord to go in and take this city. Now, I don't know about you, but this city wasn't going to be taken with just spears and swords and rocks. It was going to have to be overcome by something and someone greater than Joshua and the people there. Now, if they were going to enjoy the promised land, and the promised land, Canaan land, however you want to describe it, is that place of victorious living that God had promised them. God wanted His people to have the best life possible, to live a victorious, enjoyable life, the abundant life. But if they were going to do that, that wall had to be brought down and that city conquered. I mean, they could not go any further into the land until they first dealt with the attention before Him, the wall of Jericho. They couldn't enjoy the blessings. They couldn't occupy the land. They couldn't have all the victories and all the things that God was going to give them. There was a barrier that was there, and it had to come down. As you study this story here, as you read the text and you see what took place in Joshua and Israel's time concerning this wall of Jericho, it's very familiar with our own lives. You see, I believe every one of us, and I stated just a moment ago, every one of us has walls that are blocking us from the best of God. Some of those walls we have erected our own self by our choices and our actions. Other walls this world has placed in front of us to stop us from being able to enjoy that victorious life. So every one of us has to deal with the wall that is before us that's stopping us. Now, see, it's not a brick-and-mortar wall that I'm talking about. Those are usually easy to get through. You just take a hammer and you just smash and you beat long enough and knock them down. But the walls that I'm talking about, that wall that might be in your life or my life, sometimes it is built out of the material of some besetting sin that we've done and we've never got right with it. Maybe that wall is built out of an old hurt, or maybe a root of bitterness that have grown up in our hearts and our lives. Some people's might be a cold or indifferent spirit that has caused you to drift back from God. It could be something as a bad attitude, maybe an unforgiving spirit. It could be pride. It could be the pride. It could be the wall of pride. It could be the wall of lust, the wall of pleasure and sin itself. It could be someone or something that's standing in our way. And I guarantee you, all of us has a wall. Just like Jericho had that wall protecting them, or better yet, keeping Israel out from that place. Every one of us erects walls in our life. I got them. I'm the pastor and the preacher, but yet I got those walls that come up between me and God and God's best for my life. And you can do one or two things. You can ignore that wall and let it rob you of the best life God wants for you. Or you can deal with that wall and let God show you how to tear it down so that you can have victory in your life. And folks, that's what I want for every one of us. This thing that we call life itself, God bringing us into this world, that's an amazing thing when I think about it. God gave me life, but He's only given me one life. And He's only giving me that life for a certain period of time. Wow, why waste it? Why not enjoy it? Why not benefit from that life, everything that God has for me and you? So if you have a wall that's erected and it's stopping you and keeping you from God's best, I want to challenge you to tear it down. It is stopping you maybe from serving God, surrendering to God. It may be a wall that's keeping you from being saved. You know, people erect, though, sometimes religion is a wall that keeps people from being saved. Religion gets in the way of salvation because religion says, you got to do something to be saved. And God says, I've done it all. Just trust. You see, it may be that wall of righteousness that keeps people from being saved. People tell me, Brother Terry, I'm okay. I'm pretty good. I'm better than most people. You see, they've erected a wall of their own righteousness that keeps them from the cross. And then others, it might be riches. They think just because they are blessed with riches, they don't need God. You see, we all have that wall. And I want you to think about your wall. Don't think about my wall. I'll deal with it. You think about the wall that you have allowed to be erected in your life that's stopping you either from being saved or serving God or surrendered to Him, or better yet, that is just robbing you of everything God has for you. There are three steps that God took to bring this wall down. And I believe if we'll allow these three steps to be taken in our life, the walls will come down and we'll enjoy the blessing that God wants for us in life. Notice me, number one. Look there at verse 13. The first step I put down here is you've got to fall at the right feet. If your wall is going to fall down, you've got to be willing to fall at the right feet of the right person. And we see Joshua doing that in verses 13 through 15 of chapter 5. Joshua, he's doing reconnaissance around the city. He's out checking the city of Jerusalem out. He's inspecting the wall. What he's doing, he's looking for a way into that city. He's trying to find if there's any type of weak point in those walls or any way that he can plan and come up with a plan to get inside that city there. God told him you got to conquer it, and I'm sure he's a little bit confused and concerned and overcome with wondering, how is this going to happen? And while he's out doing reconnaissance, he's checking things out, he sees a man. And this man has a sword in his hand. Now, if I'd have been Joshua, I'd have done the same thing. I'd have wanted to say, who are you? Who are you for? Are you for them or are you with us? Are you siding with those inside of Jericho? Are you on our side, Israel's side? And he asked that question, and I like the answer that he gives in verse 14. He says, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And you know what he did here? He identifies himself, Joshua says, you're a friend or a foe. He said, I'm neither. I'm the captain of the host. I'm the Lord of the host. And you don't understand it, Joshua, but you are looking. You may think that you're the chief captain of this army, but I am the chief captain of you and all armies. You are actually standing before the presence of Almighty God here. It was such a stint that he said, listen, Joshua, you need to take your shoes off. You're standing what? On holy ground here. The place where thou standeth, it's holy. This is one of those pre-Christophanies that I spoke about the other day. This is Christ revealing himself to Joshua as the angel of the Lord's host, the one that will go before the body, the battle here. Notice, I really like what takes place in these verses here. There in verse 14, notice what Joshua does. When the Lord of the host identifies himself, Joshua doesn't argue. Joshua didn't say, hey, I'm the general of this army. I'm the captain of this host. I'm the man that's in charge. No, he doesn't do that. What does he do? He recognizes the Lord's authority, he says. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Before your wall is ever going to fall down, you've got to fall at the right feet of the right person, Jesus Christ. You've got to recognize his authority. Wow, Joshua was humbled here. He humbles and he falls down. In other words, the first step in breaking down that wall is you've got to fall on your face before Jesus. Recognize His authority. There again, I want to ask you a question this morning. Who's really in charge of your life? Who's in charge of your life? Who's calling the shots in your life? Who's in the driver's seat? You know, I've heard that little saying, Jesus is my co-pilot. Shame on you if He is. He should be the pilot. You should be in the other seat. You see, who is controlling and running your life? Who determines where you go, what you do, and how you live? You see, before any wall will ever come down, you got to recognize His authority. He's the one in control of your life. It's kind of like Paul made that statement. He says, listen, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. When I wake up in the morning and I determine in my heart and mind and my life that He's in charge and He has authority of my life, then walls begin to be knocked down. But if I wake up in my pride thinking that I can handle everything and I do what I want to do with my life, listen, you're not knocking down walls. You're just building them higher and thicker. So here we see He falls at the right feet of the right person, the Lord of hosts. He recognizes His authority here, but not only that, notice, He respects it too. In verse 14, He says, and He did worship. He goes on to say, what saith my Lord unto His servant? Joshua ain't talking now. Joshua is ready to listen. He's recognized the authority of God now. Now he's willing to take and respect that authority. He's saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? I've fallen at your feet. I'm vulnerable now. I've surrendered. Joshua has surrendered before the battle right here. He has given up his position to God. He has surrendered his ability. He has laid down at the feet of God and simply said, listen, I'm in a position of helplessness now. It's all about you and what you can do. Wow, you want to knock down a wall. You know the greatest way to knock down the wall in your life? You know the strength that you need to knock down that wall is simply to be powerless. Because you can't do it. And let God do it. And that's what Joshua's doing here. He's placing everything that he has now in the hands of one that holds his future. He's saying, I'm not able to do this. You see, here's what me and you do. And I'll throw me right in the back. We try to fight the battle on our own strength and ability. Quit trying to fight the battle. Quit trying to knock down your wall and your strength and your thinking, your logic, your ability, whatever you want to call it. Quit trying on yourself and simply do like he did. Just sell out to Christ. Fall at the right feet today. Recognize he's the authority. Then respect that authority. And verse 15 goes on to say, and Joshua did. He rested on that authority. You see, it's hard to step back sometimes and let God. Joshua just scrapped his plans. I'm sure as he looked at that city, I don't know if he had paper to write on, maybe a stone, I don't know. But as a military man who has led battles up to this time, he's coming up with some type of strategic battle plan. And he's probably done writing down, figuring it all out. And now he meets this individual, the host of the Lord, who he recognizes the one who's in authority. He surrenders his plan. He lays down whatever he was thinking, and he's saying, Lord, okay, I'm going to listen to what you say, and I'm going to do that. Stop your struggling. You know, I hate to see Christians struggle with something they can't overcome, that God wants to overcome through him in their lives. It's so frustrating. You know what you need to do every now and then is say, I can't. I can't. God, would you help me? God, would you walk in my weakness and be strength? Lord, you know where I'm fearful. You be my courage. I just surrender. You know, somebody here today needs to surrender. When's the last time you have fallen at the feet of the right person, Christ? Just bow down your life to him and say, God, not me anymore. Whatever you say. Whatever you want to do. Your plans will be mine now. Your dreams will be mine now. Your will be mine now. In other words, when you come to that point to where you're willing to surrender and sell out self, and that's hard to do. For me, it's the most difficult thing to do. It's just set myself aside and surrender. Raise my hands up to the Lord and say, I give up. I can't do this on my own. When you're willing to do that, take that first step, you have fallen at the feet of the right person. And that wall is in the potential of being knocked down. Maybe that's what you need to do. That's a hard place to reach, is it not? But Joshua's there. The whole victory that they enjoy started off with him on his face before the Lord, surrendering, worshiping God. So fall at the feet of the right person this morning. It doesn't matter if it's been days, months, years, or a lifetime since you've been there. If you want the walls knocked down, you've got to get there, because they're not going to be knocked down if you're not willing to fall before the Lord. It will stand in your way and rob you for. I guarantee you, if Joshua wouldn't have did what he did there in verses 13, 14, and 15 of chapter 5, what happened in chapter 6 would have never taken place. It all started on his face before God. And that is where battles are won. That's where walls are knocked down. So the first step, fall at the right feet. And then notice chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. Then you got to follow the right plan. You've got to follow the right plan if you want the walls to be knocked down. Now, God had a battle plan in verse 3. He told them that they were to compass the city, and they were to do it 7 days, once the sixth day, and then seven times on that seventh day. They were to compass this city. They were to follow God's plan, and it was really a simple plan when you think about it. It always is. It boils down to one simple word, faith. Joshua's thinking battle rams, these big towers, spears and swords and rocks. And God said, no, it ain't none of that. None of that. Here's my simple plan. I just want you to walk around the city. Sometimes the simplest plan is that one word of faith. God's saying, just trust me. Just trust me. See, the amazing thing, the people that were behind the walls of Jericho had more faith than the people that were to march against those walls. They knew, they already knew that God had given the city up. It just took Israel a little bit longer to figure that out. But it happens through faith. God didn't bring Israel out of Egypt to stop them right here at Jericho, to let a wall stop them. God did not save you to let a wall come up in your life to stop you from enjoying what God has for you. God meant more for the children of Israel. You see, it simply boils down to this. If you're lost, you need to be saved. If you're saved, you ought to be surrendered, serving God. God's plan's simple in life. If you're lost, put your faith in Christ. If you're saved, just surrender and serve Him. God's plan is so simple. It wasn't Joshua's plan. It was the Lord's plan. It was a strange one, no doubt. There's no talk of armament. There's no talk of soldiers, swords, or spears. There's no talk of any strategy or siege or any of that. It was simply, listen, just walk around the city. It wasn't man's way now. It was God's way. But it had to be that if this city was going to fall. What a strange plan. March around the city, let these priests go before you, let trumpets be blown, and then shout, and all the walls are going to fall down. Wow, I don't care about you, but that's a strange plan, especially when you're a military man. You see, from a human standpoint, that's a crazy idea. From a military standpoint, it's never been done that way before. And from a logical viewpoint, it ain't gonna work. You ever felt that way about God's plan for your life? Strange plans call for strong faith. And that's what Joshua and them were going to have here. God's plan boils down to doing this. They were to march in the right order, everybody in this place. that were also to walk in the right path around that city. That's being led of God. You go on and think about it. They had to go for the right period of time. God told them how many times each day to do it. And then you think about it. There was no input from the people. God didn't ask for suggestions upon this. God said, this is what needs to be done. This is what ought to be done. If it's done this way, there'll be a blessing. Because you talk about great discipline. You see, God's sometimes plan for our life seems strange. You might be sitting there and you're wondering, wow, what is God doing? You know, sometimes I used to think God's up there and he's just moving us around and kind of laughing as he does it every now and then. Say, well, I think I'll mess with Terry today. Let me move him around, make this plan for his life. But as strange and as simple as God's plan is, it's always successful if we do it the way God said. Because what did they do there in verses chapter 6, verse 20 and 21? It says the walls fell down flat. In other words, when you do it God's way, you see the walls come down. They marched and they shouted and it came down. Now, I put myself in the children of Israel. I think about those soldiers marching around that city. They get up in the morning, they march, they can't say a word. Can you imagine what the people in Jericho who's watching this are thinking? They may even be laughing at them, ridiculing them, mocking them, making fun of them. Hey, you crazy Israelites, what are y'all doing out there? You think that's going to get through this big wall just walking around it? Y'all have lost your mind. Is this the best plan you can come up with? I mean, I can imagine what the people in Jericho were thinking, but imagine the Israelites, what they were thinking. Well, ain't this an embarrassment? Got up the first day, they get up, they go all the way around. I don't know how long it took. They finally get back at the end of the day and nothing has happened. We got to do that again. You talk about embarrassing. This is kind of foolish, don't it seem? And the second day, they done the same thing. And hearing the jeers and the cheers from the other people, making fun of and having to constantly deal with that. I mean, it just didn't make no sense. But if the wall was going to come down, they had to follow the right plan. And the right plan is God's way. You see, I've figured out in my own life that the way that I want to tear down the walls, they don't work. Sometimes it just don't work doing it the way I want to do it. And you know how I usually try to tear down a wall? I try to run my head into it. That don't work. I challenge any of you guys, y'all just run your head up against that wall there. Eventually you're going to realize that, you know, running my head into the wall isn't going to do it. So you fall back to the right plan. And you do it God's way. So when you fall at the right feet, Jesus, when you follow the right plan, then you've got to finish the right way. And we see that in verse 20. So the people shouted. Finally, it got the day where they could shout. They'd been silent marching around that city. Now it's that day, it says, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. So they have done what God asked them to do. They have shouted, the wall of the city has fallen. But listen, they still had to finish the right way, because God had told them to go in there and destroy the things of that city, to burn everything. Now, you might think God is cruel, but God had a reason for that. You see, it was not the city of Jerusalem that was the problem. It was the people that were in that city. The false worshipers, the idolaters, those who rejected God in God's way. And God knew that they would be a cancer unto the people of Israel if they were left to live. So God was going to cut out of this country, this promised land, God was going to cut out of it this cancerous place, Jericho and its people, so that all their falseness would not spread into the children of Israel. So what did they do? There were some things had to be claimed. God said when the walls fall down, just go in there and claim Jericho. They had to claim the victory. They shouted and the wall came down. And then they claimed that victory. They rested in the power and the peace that God gave them through that victory. You see, God has given us great victory in life. Watching that movie, I'm thinking, I'm glad I don't have to go through all that. When all this judgment comes upon this world, I'm glad to know that I'm safe in Christ. That's victory to me. That is victory in Jesus. And I'm glad that I can live in that victory. I'm not going to wake up in a day and say, woe is me, because I have victory in Jesus. Every day is a victorious day for those of us who are Christ. And God wants us to rest in that victory. He wants us to enjoy the peace and the power and all the provisions that he gives to us. You see, the wall had fallen down, but they had to finish in the right way. Some things had to be claimed, but other things had to be conquered. You see, there were the people. Nothing associated with Jericho could stand. There are some things in our life that need to be conquered if you're going to enjoy that victorious living. The walls are going to be knocked down and stay down. And sometimes that means forgiving somebody that needs to be forgiven. You see, those are things that must be conquered. Unforgiving spirit. You know, when people do me wrong, I want to hang on to that, do y'all? I don't know why it's so hard to forgive people when Christ forgave me. If you do not have an unforgiving spirit, that wall will never come down. It will never stay down. It will build itself right back up. So maybe you need to conquer that unforgiving spirit. Maybe you need to develop new friends or new places to go. You see, how foolish would it be not to finish right and re-erect the wall that God's already knocked down? I've seen that happen in people's lives. It's happened in my life. God will tear down a wall, but I don't go in there and conquer the things that built that wall, and before long, I'm stacking the bricks again. Sometimes it takes a change. Whatever the step is necessary in your life or in my life that would assure me that the wall is going to go down and not be built back up, I need to take that. Conquer some things in your life. There again, there are some things that need to be cast off. You see, the children of Israel were told to burn everything. Just put it all through the fire. You remember there was a man by the name of Achan that didn't do that? He went into that city and what? He saw a wedge of silver and some gold and some Babylonian garments. He saw some things of Jericho and he decided that he was going to take them back with him. You know what he's doing? He's just building that wall. He's building a big wall that was going to separate him from the blessings of God. You see, you leave the stuff that built the wall behind. Cast it off. Don't take it with you. Don't rebuild the wall with the waste of this world that erected the wall there. Hard feelings. Jealousy. Hate. Pride. All those things. Sometimes you just need to cast them off. Because when you hang on to them, you're not doing yourself any good. You're just going to reestablish that wall that was there to stop you from God's blessing in the first time. Why go through all the trouble of letting God tear down the wall to bring you to that point of your life to where you can enjoy life? And then to try to pull something back and hang on to it. I've talked to Christians, I've dealt with children of God who are still holding hurts from years ago because they won't let them go. Someone done them something. Someone said something. Something happened. And they just will not let it go. You see, you've got to claim the victory. You've got to do and conquer whatever God wants you to overcome in your life. And then some things you just need to cast off. You see, they did that, and the wall came down. And the wall stayed down. And God gave them the victory there. So what does God want to do in your life? What wall is stopping you from God's best? Will you let that wall remain? Are you willing, maybe even in the invitation, to kneel at the feet of the right person, Christ, and just surrender to Him? Are you by faith willing to follow His plan for your life? Are you willing to finish right? Folks, you only got one life. And by the age of some of us, that life is running out sooner than later. So why waste that life? Why live miserable in that one life that God's given you? Why let a wall, a barrier, an obstacle stand in your way of your promised land that God wants you to have, that place of victorious living? Why not let God tear it down? Why don't you let Him just smash it? Smash it to smithereens, we used to say. I don't know where smithereen is, but it sounds like a pretty neat place to smash things. Smash it to smithereens and be done with it. And wake up today or tomorrow with not a barrier or a wall in front of you keeping you from God's best, but a doorway, a pathway open to everything God has for you. You see, the choice is yours. The choice was theirs. They had to deal with this wall. They could not go around it. They could not go on forward from it. This wall at Jericho had to be dealt with. If they would have ignored it and stopped here, they would have never enjoyed the promised land that God had for them. Tear down that wall. Tear down that wall that stands between you and God's best. Tear it down this morning. Let God tear it down. And then live the life that God has for you. Bow your heads just for a moment.